Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, August 7th, 2015. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I'm good. I'm feeling silly this morning.
You know, I touched you earlier, and you did, in fact, feel silly.
That'll teach me to go into the break room.
Well, you'd think, but yeah, we'll see. Also, Bob Levitis, how are you, Bob?
I'm silly also. I stopped by the Ministry of Silly Walks this morning, and I'm just silly.
Awesome, and I hope that you were able to get a grant for further research.
Working on it, working on it.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, wow.
So what's silly. The story?
Well, the story is that John has decided that part of OS X El Capitan is silly. Silly. But he has also found some things in El Capitan that he likes. So, John, what is it that has you in a right kerfuffle about El Capitan?
And what's so silly about it?
Well, the reaction I had to split view just torqued me off. I looked at that and I went, wait a minute. We've been using Windows for 30 years. There's a long legacy of how we use Windows. Overlapping Windows was one of the great computer science inventions.
By Windows, you mean the interface element, not the operating system.
Right, right. In Mac OS, OS X. So we have lots of different ways to manipulate Windows, and we've learned how to do those over the years. You know, we click on a visible portion of the window that's behind, and we bring it to the forefront. Or we can click on the apps icon in the dock and bring it to the front. And we work with lots of open windows. Or we can do Command Tab to see a horizontal list of all your running apps and hit the Tab key until you see the one you want to bring to the forefront. And we work gloriously on our Macs in multiple windows. And you can only do one thing at a time. There's only one app that has focus of the keyboard and the mouse at a time anyway. So it's the frontmost app you're working with. And then you move on to another app that may have been in the background, and then you bring it to the front and you do your thing and you copy and paste and do all your stuff that we've been doing for, you know, roughly 30 years on Macintoshes. And Apple even said that. It said, you know, one of the great things about the Mac is being able to run multiple apps. Then why is it that Apple felt compelled to copy the Microsoft Windows Snap feature by only having two windows on the screen?
Well, recent research,
the whole thing?
Recent research has shown that you only really need two apps at a time, you know?
Oh, I see, because you can only do two things at once.
Right, and having them side... Let me ask you a question. I meant to ask you this before, but do you use the full screen mode for anything?
Hardly ever, because I've got too many things running on my screen. See, I try to tile my screen.
Therein lies the rub, because I think the people who will... The split screen deal will appeal to are people who typically use full screen a lot.
I saw that in the reader comments.
Well, and there are a lot of people who tell me they use full screen to avoid distractions, so they can focus on something. And in a lot of cases, they wish that they could have that second thing. So a lot of times, if you're writing, you need the web browser next to you. If you're doing creative stuff, you need the image files. And the page layout program, maybe. I don't know. But usually you're bouncing back and forth, copying and pasting between two things. And for people who use the full screen mode a lot, this is a good solution. It lets them maximize the screen real estate they use.
Oh, sure. I understand the application of it, and I can see
how it won't appeal to people like us that have 30 windows open all the time and just bop around between them.
Yep.
It's just in how you use your Mac, your style.
Well, Apple must know something I don't know, that they think that this is going to be a winning thing and that it's worth the time and the effort to implement this feature.
I found
because
that
it's
a lot
in
of
Windows Snap, so it must be important to do
that. I don't know about that, but I find that a lot of people with notebooks, laptops, especially the 11-inch and 13-inch variety, love full screen mode because it gives them room for everything else, which is, you know, sorely lacking on a really small screen. So, you know, I get it. It's just not something. Well,
is it too much trouble to size the two windows that you're interested in?
Well, if you're in full screen mode,
it's like Jay Leno.
Well, then you lose what, 16 pixels?
It hurts my hand. I can't resize the windows to make them share the screen.
You know, how many pixels is the menu bar? 18, 24 pixels. Those when you're only 700 and some odd pixels deep, 24 pixels matter.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I like the El Capitan feature of hiding the menu bar. I think that's high time we had that. And, I have a MacBook, and it really makes it look cool and frees up some room for me. Yeah.
So, John, I think this is Apple's compromise for people like you that stand around yelling, "Hey, you techno kids, get off my lawn." Because you don't want full screen mode, but you don't want to waste screen space on a small display. So you make the menu bar go away, and now you have more space for all your windows. And okay, now just to be fair,
baths in my lawn.
Yeah, just to be fair, split mode on my Mac is not something that I think I will use. And that goes back to what Bob was saying. I'm not someone that uses full screen mode. I do not like full screen mode on my Mac. But the split screen on the iPad, that's something that I'm just going to eat up. I'm going to use the crap out of that.
Well, I mentioned
that's giving you twice as many apps as you had yesterday.
Right, yeah.
It's a lame attempt to make the MacBooks look like the iPads with the split view.
See, I don't think that it's that at all. I don't. I mean, it's a coincidence, but I think people who work in full. Well, I think people who work in full screen mode probably have been clamoring for something like this, or the ability to swipe between full screen apps, which you can do if you put each one in a space and open them full screen, and you're really careful not to make them back into windows. Yeah, I mean, I think this will make it more convenient for a certain group of people that like full screen mode. This is going to be a good thing for them.
I think it's perfect on the iPad. I think it's welcome and much needed on the iPad. And then people are going to walk into the Apple store and they're going to see split screen on the Mac and then go, "Oh, I know what that is. Oh, now I love the Mac even more."
Well, that's a totally valid reason for putting the feature in as well. I think that 11-inch MacBook Air users especially will love this because they do have such limited screen real estate compared to Apple's other laptops.
Yeah, but I wasn't really worried about the 11-inch MacBook Air users. I was just worried about my reaction.
Oh, I get it.
So you're
disenfranchising MacBook Air users.
That's right. It was all about John's reaction to this feature, which is...
So apparently today we're in a John-centric universe.
That's right. I'm feeling silly.
Hey, you mentioned one feature that you did like, which is the disappearing menu bar.
Absolutely.
And you had some other features that you liked too. So, see, what I'm doing is I'm taking this from Let's Segway. Bag on John.
Master of Segue.
Yeah, so now we can potentially bag on you for features you like.
And the master of Segway.
Ah, yes. Well, I picked out four that I really liked. I looked at the list, and I'm particularly appreciative of course, calling out your cursor, which is a welcome addition. It made me wonder, you know, what took Apple so long to do this?
That's worth upgrading right there. I mean,
I had a third party app that does something like that. It draws a spotlight around the cursor.
Yeah.
But I've had that for years because I've got two big screens and it's always hard to see.
Yeah, I use mouse locator.
And the older I get, mouse locator.
Yeah.
Mouse Posé did that.
Mouse Posé is what I'm using now because I use it sometimes in presentations too. Because it's got all those great features, like it'll show what keyboard shortcuts you used on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'll make noise when you click, and it's good for demos. But I use the feature where it finds your mouse cursor all the time, and I'm very happy when I look at El Capitan and jiggle my finger. By the way, everybody out there in listener land, that's what we're talking about. You jiggle your finger on the trackpad a little, or you jiggle the mouse, and the cursor gets like six times larger. You get a great big arrow that's really easy to find.
Which is
when you
awesome.
Stop jiggling, it goes
doesn't
away.
Happen right away. There's a little bit of time delay. If you just kind of move the cursor a little bit, it says, I'm not going to do anything because I'm not sure what he's doing. But then you jiggle it more vigorously and longer, and it goes, oh, now I know what he wants. So there's a nice little time.
You'll get used to it, and you'll get used to it because it wants you to jiggle a certain way, and, yeah, and your finger will figure that out after about the 10th time.
Muscle memory.
Yeah, that's great.
It's, yeah,
it's a lovely feature.
Okay, John, name another feature you like.
Safari Audio. You know, have you ever had one of those advertisements or one of those videos that started playing when you're going, oh my God, I've got 12 tabs open. Where is it? Where is that audio coming from? So now there's a little speaker icon right in the tab,
which is,
and you can
great.
Just look up there and go click. And
isn't
mute that
a feature other web browsers have had for a while?
I don't think so. I know that Firefox has had pinned tabs for a long time.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of, the pinned tabs.
Yeah.
But John, it's even better than that. If you look, if you hover over the search or enter website name field, the URL field where you type, if you hover over that and any tab has audio, a little blue speaker icon pops up, and if you click it, it shuts off whichever tab it's in. You don't even have to look for the speaker on the tab. If you've got 12 tabs open, it could take a few minutes for you to scan across and find the one with the little teeny speaker. But if you just go to the URL field there, you can click the blue deal.
Yeah, well, that blue, that little blue icon's in the screenshot that I use. I just overlooked.
I know.
Yeah.
I saw that.
I'll fix that.
I would have put a call out to that.
I'll put another red arrow in there.
Shut everything.
There you go. Add more arrows.
Yeah.
One more arrow.
And finally, one of the things I really like is the new disk utility. It's fresher, it's better looking, it's cleaner, you know, the old disk utility had a lot of different buttons and a lot of options, and it just inundated you with information, and you were kind of, it was scary looking for a novice, and the new disk utility is more focused, things that you can't do are dimmed, gives you a better graphical implementation, it hides information that you don't need until you need it, and then it shows you all the technical geeky stuff.
And it does something no version before it has ever done.
And what would that be?
It can repair your startup disk without booting into the recovery disk partition. Or
that's pretty cool.
It also used to be able to scan it and verify, but not repair. And now it just repairs it live.
Nice. That's and also repairing permissions is gone too.
Repairing permissions is completely gone.
Completely gone. They're protected now, so they don't get altered.
First, they take away rebuilding our desktop. Then they take away repairing permissions. What's next?
No more zapping the PRAM? Zapping the PRAM. Yep. Yeah. Zapping the PRAM's the next to go.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. All right. So
everything you know will be useless.
Well, that kind of happens to me every few years anyhow. So
I can't use ResEdit anymore.
That just broke my heart right there.
Yeah.
All right, so the stuff that you really like.
Don't you guys use ResEdit X? Kidding.
There's people right now Googling for that. Yeah.
I'm such a troublemaker, John. The
stuff that you listed as cool features, I can't bag on you for any of those. They are all really good features.
Cool features, yep.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to El Capitan rolling out as an official release as opposed to public beta. So that happens this fall, and it's going to be a free update. So if your computer can run, is it Mavericks? It can run El Capitan also. So Mavericks, Yosemite, El Capitan, all run on the same machines.
Wait a minute.
Yes, and it runs on all the non-CAT operating systems. Or all the non-CAT operating systems can run. If you can run a non-CAT, you can run this one.
We can call those California Macs, right? Because it's all California locations. All right, there you go. We have a new nomenclature.
Yeah, there you go.
The California Macs people.
The California series.
That's right.
Yes.
Hey, if you are in the market for a new Mac and you're going to buy it from the Apple Store, what you should do is go to the special link that we have, macobserver.com/Apple Store, and then let that take you to Apple's website, because what happens then is that you buy the computer you want, but then Mac Observer is going to get a little thank you kickback from Apple for directing you there. This is a really easy way to help support Mac Observer, because that kickback that we get from Apple, it goes to help keep the site running, make sure that we can pay authors like John and Bob.
Wait, you guys pay me?
like John, and then it also helps make sure that we can keep podcasts like this running for you as well. So just use that link when you need to buy something from Apple, and that link is macobserver.com/AppleStore. And by the way, listeners, you guys all rock. Okay, now
I'm going to do that next time I buy something from the Apple Store.
Yeah, I do that. I do that too. I also use the other affiliate links that we have on our site. Like if I need to buy something from Amazon, I use that affiliate link. If I ever need to buy Amazon, that's what I was just thinking. Wow, yeah, I should probably get some caffeine today. Anyhow, I was also using that little reminder about our link as a segue into the other thing I wanted to talk about, which is that the Apple Store website is gone. It's not there. If you go to store.apple.com, it just redirects you to Apple's homepage, apple.com. And I can see where for some people that would be kind of freaky because they've for a long time, people have looked at the Apple site as two distinct things. The place you go when you're researching, which is apple.com, the place you go when you're buying stuff, which is store.apple.com. And now they've been blended together. So you can just search for whatever you want.
And then buy it right away.
Yeah, the buy buttons are there on all the product pages. So it's no longer click to find whatever it is you're looking for, then click to go to the store, then click to go to the thing that you were just looking at because now you want to buy it. And so in theory, this should reduce the number of steps it takes to buy something from Apple. It's brand new. Like this rolled out last night. So I haven't been able to really test it myself to see if it is that much easier. But I did like that when I was looking for products today, that every product I was looking for, there's just a buy button right there. And I like the way they have redesigned the shopping cart, now called a shopping bag. The icon for it is horrible. I had no idea what it was. Even after I knew it was shopping bag, it took me a while to realize, oh, it's supposed to be a bag with a handle on top. It looks like a little padlock or a toaster. It's a toaster. There's toast coming out of a toaster. Anyhow, I don't like that icon. But I like that you now have one place to click anywhere on Apple site because that little toaster icon shows up on all the Apple pages. Click on that. It gives you a drop-down menu that shows you all of the items in your shopping bag. It shows you order status. It lets you look at the stuff that you've tagged as favorites. And you can modify your account settings, too. So it's a big change, but I'm kind of okay with it. Last night when I saw it, my first thought was, oh, Apple's just ruining everything. But then my second thought was, every time the Lego website asks me to fill out a survey, I tell them sending me to a separate website for making purchases is really stupid. And then I realized it's kind of the same for me for the Apple Store too.
I'm with you, Jeff. I at first I was kind of taken aback and I was wondering how you buy accessories, but thank goodness you found the accessories page. And then I thought, well, you know, you're researching something you want to buy and then you have to leave and you have to go over to a store and find it all over again. It's kind of silly. So, yeah, I'm really warming up to this.
Yeah, I'm totally okay with it today. And, yes, the special page Apple has set up where you can shop for accessories is kind of obscured, meaning Apple did not do anything to make it easy to find, which I'm sure is going to make third-party product manufacturers really happy. But I did find the link, and when I wrote up my article explaining how to use the new shopping features on Apple's website, I put the link to the accessories area in there. So if you're on the hunt for new headphones or a mouse or a keyboard, whatever, I've got the link. And it's in the article that'll be in the show notes for today. So you're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. There is a link in each department to also.
And see, that was
two accessories. It's weird. It goes to a sub department of accessories.
Yes, which I found to be very weird. Also, when you are making a purchase, you get walked through the different screens like you did before where you're picking colors and storage capacities and all that. And then you hit a point where it offers accessories. But what it does when you're making a purchase, it lists some accessories that might be a nice fit for whatever it is that you're buying. So like I looked at a MacBook Air, I think it was, and it showed the Magic Mouse, and it showed an AirPort base station and Beats headphones and various video and accessory adapters. So it was stuff that if you're buying a new computer, probably fits in with what you would be buying to go along with it, but it's a very, very limited selection. So if you need to look through all the stuff, check out the link that I found for you. All right. We're out of time, guys.
Oh, no.
I know.
Goes fast.
It really does.
When you're having fun.
And with you guys, I'm always having fun. So, John, thank you for showing up and being such a good sport as we bagged on you about what you didn't like about El Capitan.
Of course. My pleasure.
And Bob, thank you for being here and bringing your wonderfully fun insight.
My twisted point of view. Thanks for having me. Yeah. Always a pleasure.
And it's awesome to have both of you on the show. And listeners, it's always awesome to have you here. Why don't you head over to the iTunes store when you have a moment and rate the show for me, please, because I love your feedback. And I also love that when our podcast is getting reviews, that makes it easier for other people to find the show, too. So, you know, you can bring more people in on all the fun. So thanks for listening. Hey, we'll see everyone again next week.